Die hard dogs. We heard all week that we're blocking out the noise. Well, no crap. 41-16 win. Well, guess what? I didn't. OBJ Sr., I'll be waiting for your brilliant critique on Baker's play, which will happen never. LeBron, hashtag free OBJ. You meant hashtag free the Browns. Maybe someday the fans will let you back in the land. Steve Smith Sr., we heard what you said on Thursday Night Football, but you don't have any Super Bowl rings to block your big pie hole, so shut up. Zach, Blake, Josh, Justin, tell me what's going on. Let's go, Brownies. Woo, 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 woo.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. If you'd like to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com and tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. While you're there, you can also tap the merch link to check out the dog store. We got hoodies, t-shirts, a bunch of other cool stuff. We got to give a round of applause to Kenny Mack with another brilliant intro. Speaking for Browns Nation, I think he's speaking on behalf of just about everybody. Browns laid a smackdown, bounced back in a huge way this week in a must-win situation. Before we get into it, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can also find us on Apple, Google, Spotify if you prefer to just listen. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Remember to tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. Lastly, if you're looking for more content, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon site. You get the episodes early, you get an extra episode every week, fantasy leagues, game day threads, group chats. Happy birthday, Katie. So you get to told happy birthday on the show if you're in the Patreon. It's a really cool place to come hang out with us. Get Browns info all the time. Basically 24/7. If you want to talk about the Browns to somebody, you got access to
which
them.
It actually worked out in my favor last week because I was out of the country and I just made a quick post in Patreon and said, hey guys, I am missing everything that's happening right now. I feel like I'm so far away. What a terrible week to be gone, you know, as far as Brown stuff is concerned.
It's overwhelming.
And I mean, within what was it, within 15 minutes there was
35
50
messages.
Comments like I'm like, this is crazy. Everybody just jumped in and starts chiming in and filling me in, and I felt like I had a good scope of things.
Yeah, Josh picked a great time to be out of the country. We lose to the Steelers. We have like the most tumultuous week in Browns history, and then we spanked the Bengals all in 1 week.
I know.
All that happened in 7 days.
Oh, man, and one thing happened that I was just waiting for, and I wasn't here for it.
But, well, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that.
I know. Can't wait.
Dogs off the leash.
So like we said, Browns bounced back in a huge way. Ooh. 41-16 win over the Bengals. It wasn't even that close. We basically beat the brakes off of them from Denzel Ward's pick six to the end of the game. I'm not going to lie. When the game first started and they got the ball first and they're just methodically working their way down the field and Jadeveon Clowney just keeps lining up offsides and they're getting all their third downs and then we actually stop them on third down and sack them and there's a penalty on us and I'm like, Jesus, here we go again. Who would have thought getting a penalty fourth and 15, fourth and 16, something like that down there? And then we get a penalty to give them a who would have thought that'd work in our favor?
It doesn't usually.
We never get those breaks.
No.
They definitely would have kicked a field goal. And then instead they end up throwing a pick six, 99-yard pick six.
I mean, that was just one of those plays where it's like they just grab the game. And I mean, I love seeing Joe Burrow throw picks to the Browns. This is beautiful sight.
I know you weren't here last week, but we talked about it, Justin, myself, and Zach. We talked about how he's been susceptible to the turnover. Nobody's talking about it because he had 20 touchdowns.
Right.
But he had 9 picks in, what, 8 games?
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, I think now after this game, he leads the league in interceptions.
Man, that's a league with Trevor Lawrence, too.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson.
Sam Darnold, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not sure. That I'm just guessing about the lead. I thought I heard it, but I wasn't.
I don't know. I think Sam Darnold is really after that one.
I mean, he's up there, though. He's got 11. It's hard to have more than 11 right now. You've only played nine games.
Sam does three a game, though. So
when he's playing.
Well, yeah.
When he's a little he was banged up when you were out. He was had a
but
concussion
I just, it
weeks.
Seems like Joe Burrow, I mean, I think he gets a lot of hype because he – throws the ball a lot, but they're not always great throws.
No, he's good. Let's not be crazy. He's good. No,
I'm not saying he's not good.
But there's something about the – so me and Justin were talking about this on the way up. You know, like Tom Brady, no matter what, when he played people in his division, when he played the Dolphins, he just murdered them.
Yeah.
That's kind of like – this. The Bengals are Baker's Dolphins, if
yes.
that makes sense, if you can like work that.
Yeah, what is he now, 6-1?
That's why, so last week I didn't pick us to win, but it had nothing to do with our offense. I thought the offense would look great, even after looking like dog crap against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the offense wouldn't look good against the Bengals. One, they just give up 400 passing yards to a guy nobody's ever heard of.
Right.
So I wasn't sold on their defense. And then two, that's just what Baker does. Baker could be in the midst of the worst stretch in his career, and he'd play the Bengals, throw four touchdowns.
It is like the timing of everything with what's going on with the Browns was perfect, because there is no better get right game than the Bengals for Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
And the thing is, Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati. I didn't even worry about the away part of that. I was like, oh, I don't really care where they're playing. He's going to go. And the thing is, he was 14 of 21. Like, he didn't have to throw the ball very much.
No, I was, you're going to see 41 points and people are going to be like, the offense. I came away from this game way more impressed with the defense than anything.
Absolutely.
Because we talked about the defense this year. Anytime we played a quarterback that was good or a team that had weapons, we struggled. We shut down the Vikings game, we did pretty well against them.
Yes.
But like, we shut down the Bears, and we shut down the Texans after Tyrod got hurt, and that kind of, but anytime we played, Herbert, Mahomes, Kyler, they tore us up. They lit us up. This was the first game we went into where the team had a quarterback that a lot of people are considering is very good and could be on his way to great, and a team that has a ton of weapons. And we completely shut them down. I mean, they got some empty yards in there, but I mean, this was a behind the woodshed beating four quarters.
I'm glad you touched on that too, because going into it, that was something I was nervous about. Every time during this season that we've had to go on the road and play somebody that we would consider to be, I guess, playoff contender, 500 or better, a decent team, we have somehow found a way to blow that game, whether it's, the Chiefs, the Chargers. So for me, for them to play, me and Blake were talking about on the way over, the closest thing to a complete game on all sides of the ball. I know there's a missed field goal. I know, you'll hear a little bit of maybe the offense could have been better second half. But, man, the defense showed up, looked great, and then the offense capitalized on where they made plays.
Yes, to me, the offense, there's this narrative out there, and it's fun to say, but like, oh, the Browns are all of a sudden so much better because Odell left. We were handed short fields all game, and we scored a defensive touchdown. The defense played way more into this to me than the offense. The offense did what they were supposed to do. When you get short fields, you're supposed to, and you get three turnovers, you're supposed to go score points off of them. So obviously, credit to the offense, they did what they're supposed to do. I'm just not buying into the narrative that all of a sudden our offense is fixed and we're Super Bowl favorites because one guy left the team.
I'll buy that narrative.
Okay, I'm not buying that.
All day long.
I'm not buying that.
I'll fight you on that.
I'm not buying that.
I don't care.
But what I will say is they looked good. The offense looked good, and that was the best game that they've had all year. Maybe the Chargers
game. It was not the best game we've had all year.
I don't know, man. What, the Chargers game?
Chargers, Chiefs.
Yeah.
I will say the ease with which Nick Chubb racked up massive yardage was awesome. I mean,
he had a good game.
There was a, what was it? We were on a third down, I think. And it was, might have been like third and six or something like that. So it was a kind of a lengthy one. And he kind of got hit like after like a yard. It looked like, okay.
Still busted off.
And then he cut through. And next thing you know, he's 20 yards downfield. And I'm like, see, when Nick Chubb does that kind of stuff, our offense is just humming. Just humming. Because what are you going to do? You're going to stack the box. Okay, play action. We'll boot out. Baker, I think Baker took that billboard personal. which was really stupid on Cincinnati's part. I mean,
I thought it was funny.
You can say whatever you want about Baker, and I say some. Don't give him bulletin board material.
Well, that too.
You know what I mean?
Legit bulletin board. Yeah.
Well, and then I read the billboard a little closer, and it was like more accurate than a Baker Mayfield pass. And I'm like, so if you're saying Baker's not very accurate, you're saying you're not very accurate, just better than him. So, like, I don't understand what, you know what I mean? Like, if you really think about it.
And also, again, say what you want about Baker this year. His completion percentage isn't one of his problems this year.
They said 67%.
The billboard, it made no sense.
No, it whenever I actually like analyze them, like this actually doesn't make the point they think they're making.
Correct.
So
what I'm going to say too is, we weren't here to talk about like what happened last week because you were out of the country. So we couldn't even do like a Zoom call.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So we couldn't even like get together, and a lot of people were wondering like where we stood on it. So I just wanted to touch on that while we're kind of talking about this game. I don't think the Browns had any choice but to let him go.
Yeah.
No way.
You know, yeah, no matter what, whether you think he orchestrated it or you don't think he orchestrated it, whatever, it doesn't matter. They just didn't have any other choice. They were left no choice whenever he didn't call anybody.
The damage was done.
Yes. It's all they could do. And so even people who were like pro Odell and down on Baker or vice versa, as an organization, it was literally their only option.
I mean, I think it was like the very next day after everything kind of came out, there was the news report that Stefanski informed the team, you know, prepare to not have him the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So like that, it happened quick. Like, I don't know what was said behind those doors, but, or not said maybe, right? Because he wasn't communicating, but they knew it was over.
And it was kind of good to see from the Browns too, whether I thought Odell or Baker, whatever. But remember when Josh Gordon was a problem and Hugh Jackson was like pumped to get him back during Hard Knocks? Oh my
gosh, every year.
You know what I mean? It was kind of like the difference in the Browns between then and now. I mean, Odell's, whether you think he's good or not, he was open all the time. And we still were like, get rid of him. Like that.
Yes. I think that is a good sign that as soon as somebody becomes a problem for the team, you remove the problem. Yes. And that's something that the Browns have, like you said, have not done in the past.
No, if they thought you were any good at all, you could. I mean, Johnny Manziel was lost for 3 days.
Yeah,
you know? and he still got to be on the team. So yeah, it was good for the organization. It was their only option.
Yeah, it was always talent over team, and now we're team over talent.
Now, do I think the passing game is perfect now? No,
no, but it never has been, and that's the thing.
I'm not buying like the whole everybody is like, see, Odell's gone and just look how much Baker's played better than he did yesterday a couple times. One of the times was when Odell was on the team. He only completed 14 passes. In the second half, he was sub 50% completion for under 100 yards. So let's not pretend like all of a sudden the passing game.
Yeah, great. But you got to remember in the second half, you can't really count too much of that because they were running the clock in the last quarter.
We attempted more pass attempts in the second half than we did the first half.
We did?
Yes.
Oh.
8 attempts in the first half, 13 or 14 attempts in the second half. So there was a point in the second half where our offense, take away Nick Chubb run, was bad. It was like 28 yards, 4 yards, negative 6 yards, 15 yards. And then we had the touchdown drive to Njoku.
Which that pass was
sick, especially the one to DPJ. So
see, now that's that deep downfield passing where why hasn't that happened yet this year? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like those connections to guys that are down the field. It was beautiful though.
But
it was nice.
And so I'm very curious to see too. To me, this was a perfect stepping stone though, because Baker did have some big time throws. The big throw to DPJ in the first half when he was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
The throw to DPJ on the sideline.
Oh, and the hell of a catch.
Yes. Yep.
Wow.
The touchdown to Njoku was a throw that I felt like Baker was afraid to even try like the last 3 weeks.
Yeah,
he wasn't even that open.
He had that confidence yesterday where it's like, I'm putting it on his right on that back shoulder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, any other position on that, and it's either knocked down or picked.
Yeah, and then he had a throw to Schwartz on like a 20-yard dig. That was really nice.
I thought the throw out to the flat to Bryant was great.
Yes, so he had some really nice throws.
And there what about like, the one to Chubb, too, where Chubb just kind of ran that route out to the sideline?
Are you talking about the one where he's wide open?
Yeah, and Baker's awesome. Going through, and he's like, oh, wow, he's open.
So that just, was actually, I was just about to bring that up. To me, maybe was his best play, at least in my opinion, because if you watch, he started all the way left.
Yes.
And he looked here, and then he looked here, and then he looked here. Chubb was literally like the fourth or fifth guy he looked at that
point. Yeah, and that's why he was so open, too.
And that was things we haven't seen. Now, was it because Odell was on the team? If it was, that's insane. All of a sudden, your eyes are working better because this guy... How could Odell affect you that much when you weren't even looking at him half the time?
The thing is, you're not... Well, I have seen some stats, too, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you either think it affected him or you don't. Either way, he's gone.
The biggest thing, too, though, that scares me, though, is if it was affecting him that much, can we never upgrade?
Well, the thing, and also we got to look and see what happens tomorrow, because tomorrow he's going to get claimed by somebody probably, or sign with somebody.
Or to the Seahawks.
Yeah. Odell too, I heard that he was already telling like teams that, you know, that have the waiver priorities right now, don't claim me because I won't play.
Oh, he said, if the situation's not right,
I'll just get surgery or whatever.
Yeah. No, he's like, I'm good. Yeah. I won't. It'll be a situation.
Well, here's he's making a good... Yeah, I just don't think he's laying good groundwork for himself.
Here's the thing, though. In Odell's situation, you have to put yourself in his shoes. He literally can't afford to go to another bad spot. People are already talking about how he's a bum. He can't afford to go to the Lions and play with Jared Goff. He can't.
Yeah, but what if he goes to a great team with a great quarterback and he still sucks?
Well, that's on him, though. He wants to be able to control that destiny.
I know. I kind of do hope he gets to go where he wants to go. And then that way he has no excuses if it doesn't work. Like,
did you ever get to watch the video?
I did. Yeah, I finally did.
It was bad.
It was, but what was worse is that his dad put it together, or somebody put it together.
Somebody put it, a third party put it together.
And it was ready to go.
And the dad just posted it. The third party came out and said he never intended for that to happen. He just puts videos like that together. Now, say what you want, but I don't understand how one guy on the field, and we can say Odell was a bum and not a bum. He was literally open. So it doesn't make any sense how one guy who's open could affect the throw to this guy on the other side of the field. It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. The only thing, it doesn't make sense, but it just is what it is.
And I'm not ready to call it fixed yet because it was one game. Let's see what happens in Gillette against Bill Belichick defense.
It'll be a really good...
When we're not running the ball for 12 yards a clip. Then let's see how the passing game looks.
We'll see. I don't know, man. I'm very excited to see what the Browns offense can do against a Belichick defense because of just how dominant the O-line has been with the run game.
No, I'm really excited to see it. To me, this was a must-win game, but next week's like a barometer game. If we go into Gillette and we smoke them, and Baker's got a 132 rating, and we run for 12 yards, then it's like, holy crap, maybe this offense is back on track. But to me, I never expected the offense to struggle against the Bengals. Their defense is trash.
Expected our defense to struggle.
Yeah, I expected it to be a shootout.
Yeah.
And I did not know 17 points would win this game. That's not what I was expecting at all. So more went right, which we just had to, I feel like we had to kind of address Odell.
No, and that you're right. Because as soon as you said that, I realized, oh, you're right. We haven't actually talked about it on the show because I was gone and we couldn't just throw something together quick.
No. And I feel like people might have been expecting me to like say that we shouldn't have got rid of him. Because I've been pretty pro Odell, but there's literally no choice.
No, and going back to it real quick too, I don't understand why these other athletes, especially like LeBron, that was kind of disappointing. Like, stay out of the fight.
It's a dividing
factor for the team.
Yeah,
don't pick sides.
No, when he claims to be a fan,
I get that. Here's the thing though, like with situations like that where you have these guys are friends and stuff like that. If Blake had something important going on in his life, I would post some stuff. All I'm saying is he was looking out for a friend there. I'm not defending LeBron. I'm just saying, hey, and he wasn't the only celebrity. I mean, literally, there was football teams wearing free Odell.
Damian Lillard.
Yeah. Minnesota came out with warm-up shirts that said free Odell.
Here's the thing. The video, to me, especially when it came out after the Steelers game, which you got to watch now, the Steelers game was terrible.
I watched through half of the third quarter.
It was like the most disappointing loss in a while.
Yeah.
And there's no denying he's open. Now, is he the first read? Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. If he wasn't the first read, he probably should have been. That's probably part of his frustration. Two, there are definitely plays on there where he's looking right at him and he throws the other way. On one, he throws over him to somebody who's double covered. Eventually, you're going to get frustrated.
Yeah, well, so the thing is, that marriage never worked. It just never worked. Now, I'm sure there's fault on both sides. I mean, Odell, there's some blame on him, some blame on Baker. Either way, some blame on the coaching staff, play calling, whatever. It wasn't working. So the whole free Odell thing is like, okay, fine, free him because he's not happy. It's not working. We're frustrated. Let's just move on from that situation. And, you know, it's kind of sad it went the way it did, but, you know.
Super, super, super frustrating.
The thing, yeah. The thing that worries me now is, so can we not upgrade the receiver room? Because and before people are like, well, Odell wasn't that good. He was open.
No.
So, and so now, like, if DBJ starts to ascend, can we not, do we have to like be quiet when we talk about how good he is so Baker doesn't feel pressure to throw it to him?
I feel like just because of the way things happen, there had to have been some other stuff going on maybe behind the scenes between those two. I don't buy that. Well, I'm not saying you have to buy it. I'm saying there very well could have been. And I honestly do think if the Browns would have drafted somebody like Rashad Bateman, a good route running young studly rookie who's younger and just trying to make his way in the league, it might be a little different story. But
so, like, say Davante Adams.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You're right.
And if you can't add Davante Adams to your team, there's a problem.
So, just for perspective,
that's my concern.
The Packers couldn't have him yesterday either.
Just for like for the other side of that, and I don't necessarily agree with this or not, but I did read an article. And they said that Odell was kind of like loose on his routes. Like he'd kind of like work his way open.
Romo
kind of,
said that too at one point.
Yeah. And they kind of compared him to like a Chad Ochocinco who kind of did the same thing. Now the difference was, man, you had the quarterbacks that you had in Cincy that were, they were just kind of winging the ball, anticipation. I don't know if like Baker's not that kind of quarterback where he needs it to be, hey, you're at this spot where you have to be every time. Like if it's a situation like that, it makes sense. I guess it all depends on like the wide receiver, if that is the case.
Yeah.
If it's that important to Baker.
The biggest thing too is that we'll never know how much he was doing that because we don't know the play call.
Right.
We don't know the route.
Right. The route, anything.
Tony Romo can say, but I watch a lot of, he says a lot of stupid stuff. You know what I mean? Obviously the dude has forgotten more about football, especially offensive football than I've ever known. But man, even people on Twitter yesterday were like, did Tony Romo prepare for this game? Like he's just saying things that are just so far wrong. It's not even, I don't know. Tony Romo, sometimes he just talks to talk.
Well, but that is kind of his job, I guess.
Yes, yeah.
But no, so we'll never know. Right. But it just, I'm worried that like, is our QB's mind so fragile that we can't have a dominant number one receiver because then he'll feel pressure to throw it to him and now his whole game's off. Are we always going to have to be the team that just like our leading receiver has 37 yards?
Well, see, I don't buy that Baker's mind is fragile. So the thing is, you can say whatever you want to say about either side of the situation. The fact is now, Odell is no longer a member of the Browns, and we still have how many, 8 games left to go?
Yep.
We got to win. We got to win some games and make this playoff push.
Yeah, I think you need to win at least 11 games, and we've got 5, so we need to win 6 more games.
Yeah.
And we got 8. So let's go.
And it's kind of nice with the AFC is getting weird right now. Like
it's super weird.
I've been saying it for some weeks. You know what I mean? It's not that good this year.
No, the Ravens keep squeaking out these wins.
I think it's good.
They're beating up each other.
I think everybody's beating each other up. Yeah. I think I heard today on ESPN in the AFC, it's like 12 of the 16 teams or whatever, or 500 or better.
Well, they said 2 weeks ago, the Bengals had the number one seed.
Now they're in last. I'm pretty sure.
Now they're last in our division.
Yeah,
with one loss or 2 losses.
Yeah, like well, no, they're 5-4 now.
Yeah,
you mean but, like the Jets?
But, oh no, I see. Yeah, two back-to-back losses. Yep. That's all it takes. So the Browns are very much still in this thing. We just have to keep tacking up wins, piling them up.
And we're going to talk about how important the next one is when we're coming up. So obviously, DPJ, do we need to get him more involved? Because he was great, but he had 2 catches.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a good thing where DPJ has 2 catches for 80 yards because 60 of them came on a bomb, and then the rest of our receivers, like nobody had more than 2 catches or something.
Landry led the team with 3, it looks like.
For how many yards? Wasn't it like 11?
Yeah.
11, and I guess we can wait and throw this in the wrong, but what was that pitch?
Oh, my God.
Like, dude, you're at the goal line. What are you throwing the ball on the ground for?
Yeah, that's your number one guy, Josh.
He's the number one guy now. That argument is settled.
Yeah.
That was your argument.
That was just one of those plays where it's like, what are you doing? But I do think they need to get DPJ more involved. Now, as far as route running, I haven't heard much analysis on that or evaluated anything. But when it comes to making difficult catches, I mean, he knew he was getting rocked on that catch down the sideline toward the goal line. And he held onto that ball and he got rocked.
Yep. So this is what makes me a little nervous in the pass game. Maybe, I don't know. I guess we'll see how it goes. But Donovan Peoples-Jones, leading receiver, 2 catches, 86 yards. You have to go down 1, 2, 3, 4. The next 4 leading receivers on the team are not receivers. The next leading receiver was Anthony Schwartz with 1 catch for 15 yards. At least yardage-wise. Obviously, Jarvis had that. But you know what I mean? And then then Austin Hooper with 2 for 14, and then Jarvis 3 for 11. So it's like we saw this kind of offense against the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. It scored 17 points.
Now, I know, but you also saw this type of offense a lot last year, though. I mean, Baker never hyper-targets anybody. There's nobody who just absolutely dominates the target column, you know, in a box score with the Browns, because it just doesn't happen. He just spreads it
Tell
around.
Tell me a team, though, that's really good that doesn't have a dominant number one receiver.
I mean, and now I'm going to stretch this back in the day, but I mean, there were years when Brady never had a dominant number one receiver, and he was just, you know, spreading it around.
Tell me,
and then he got Randy Moss, and NFL, he went for it.
Yeah, tell me in the current NFL, a team that doesn't have a dominant number one that is good.
Well, I'll think about it for a little bit.
Nothing
off the top of my head.
No. So is this sustainable when you get in against team? When you get into the playoffs, you're most likely not going to be running the ball for 12 yards a clip. Ask the Ravens.
Right.
You know what I mean? So is this kind of pass game sustainable?
Well, and you know, the thing is.
And I'm not saying whether I think it is or not before everybody freaks. I'm throwing the question into the ether for people to put in their input. It's just, is this sustainable to where you're. Second leading receiver had 1 catch for 14 yards.
Well, and something that's missing from this box score too, I was going to ask you guys, because I watched a very spark note version of the game today.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Rashard Higgins yesterday?
He only played like 3 snaps.
What is going on? I started
him in fantasy because I had so many injuries.
I grabbed him on a team too, because I thought, oh, he's going to get at least 8 targets probably in this game. Maybe he'll have 5 catches for, who knows? Nothing. What is going on?
So to me, it's the system we're running. We use the tight ends and stuff a lot, but they don't get much separation most of the time. So no. I don't know. You guys tell me, can this win a Super Bowl? Because I'm on record saying, I don't care if we're good and we win 12 games. That's not my goal. Will we win 3 or 4 playoff games and win the Super Bowl? Is this the kind of offense that can do it? Where you have no clear-cut number one.
Correct. And I will just, as a note, say we have no clear-cut number one at week 9, going into week 10. Who knows, though? I mean, DPJ could very well emerge throughout the second half of the season. Or maybe Rashard Higgins does get more involved. I'm not really holding out too much hope for Anthony Schwartz at this point. I don't know, though. I do think this is probably the offense we're going to see this. You know, 2 receptions, you know, 3, maybe somebody gets 4 or 5 in a game here and there, but that's about it.
Because, like I said, again, we're going to have to be able to open it up a little bit if we get to the playoffs. Ravens came into all these playoffs, number one rushing team. Teams took away Lamar's rushing. They couldn't throw. 1 and done every year. What's going to happen if Nick Chubb's getting bottled up? Is there nobody who can create separation, make a play on the outside?
Yeah, well, we're also missing our leading receiver in Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And again, I'm not saying whether I think it is. That's for you guys. Tell me what you guys think. I'm just tossing the question out there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm interested to hear what people have to say.
So we've talked about the offense a lot, but I started off this show by saying I think the most impressive part of this game was our defense.
Yeah, let's go there.
So let's get into the defense here. I think maybe I'm speaking for Browns country when I shouldn't have. Browns fandom, when that opening drive started, it was like, God, this is going to be a long day. And then Denzel picks them off. And then they go right back down and score again. They ran more plays in their first 2 drives than the Browns ran the entire first half.
Wow.
They had the ball. They ran 20 plays before we ever got the ball. We only ran 15 plays in the first half.
It was a while until we got our offense out there.
Yeah. So, and it was like, man, are we ever going to get off the field? And then we started forcing turnovers. Denzel played his best game as a Brown, in my opinion.
That was a very good. He did very well yesterday, man.
Especially, I mean, Jamar Chase, Higgins, those guys are good.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
And he's been playing not good.
Yeah,
Denzel Ward had been struggling badly this year.
He'd been struggling. He'd been coming off injury.
Yeah.
And to step in and play like he did, I mean, this was a signature-type game for him.
Absolutely.
I said if it's not his best game, he had that game as a rookie where he blocked the field goal against the Ravens and then picked him off at the goal line. I think that was the game that we killed him with Nick Chubb and Freddie Kitchens and stuff like that. But other than that, this is by far his best game.
Yeah, these are the – now, not that you expect Denzel Ward to have this type of game every week, but you expect 70% of this or 60% of this on a weekly basis.
He's your number one corner. You expect if they're going to pick on your number one corner for him to make them pay sometimes. Johnson had his best game as a Brown. Interception, forced a fumble. I said last week on the show I felt like we were playing him out of position. I heard today on the radio this was the game that he played the most either in the box, either in the slot or like within a certain amount of yards of the line of scrimmage. We played him more in the position that he was when he was in LA. We had him, there was less of him being 20 yards off the ball, you know, playing back there.
Yeah.
We put him in the position. So good job to you, Joe.
Listen to the show.
And you put the guy in the position for him to utilize his skills the best, which is why you brought him here in the first place. And he had his best game. So that was encouraging.
Can we talk about Greg Newsome?
Yes, go ahead.
Cool. So Greg Newsome, I know he had a couple of plays where he got burnt, but man, what a fun game to watch him kind of evolve and step up and had a great game. Even with, you know, a couple miscues, great, great game. Really happy with the both cornerbacks. And, well, you want to talk about Troy Hill?
Yes.
Just keep it going.
Is he our best tackler? Seriously.
With JOK out, yeah, maybe.
He makes nice tackles all the time.
Three sacks yesterday, right?
Yeah, what was it? The first
Browns player ever with three, right? Or three cornerback.
Yeah.
Three for a cornerback.
He was awesome. Greg Newsome was awesome.
Yep.
Miles got another, sack and a half?
Sack and a half, yep.
Clowney was good. It's just...
when he lined up, not in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to say, real quick, keeping with that secondary, I think A.J. Green is proving to be a good filler when guys need a spell, like when Ward ran 99 yards for six, you know what I mean? So he was out the next series. I mean, A.J. Green, I mean, when he's on the field, I think he holds his own pretty well.
Absolutely.
No, he was graded pretty high, I think. A lot of our guys were graded real high. Some guy we kind of skipped over on the offense real quick. We'll backtrack. Wyatt Teller.
Yeah.
Oh,
killing people.
Oh, sign that guy.
Yeah. I know. We need to keep him.
Do here. Not let him go. Don't let any of this line go.
I know. Oh, man. It's just so good.
He was doing things yesterday to other professional defensive linemen that you see like happen in high school games.
Yeah, with a guy who's going to a D1 school versus, you know, a kid who's
going to work at the gas station.
Yeah. It was unreal what he was doing out there. He was graded at, I think, 94 something, highest grade of any player in any game or something crazy. I mean, and he does that. I feel like he does that on the regular.
Yeah. It's noticeable when he's not there.
Yes.
He needs re-sign because, and he's not old. You know what I mean? I think he's like 26 or maybe like he's got years ahead of him to continue to maul people,
which we're trying to get Wyatt Teller on the show, by the way. So Wyatt, if you're watching, but no, I said this either last week or the week before, it is more noticeable when Wyatt Teller doesn't play than when our starting quarterback doesn't play. That's like how valuable he is.
Well, that's because our run game is our identity. And when you take out a key cog in that, you know, that wheel, it's it just doesn't go.
Very fair.
Yeah. So we back on the defense, we had to talk about Wyatt before we forgot, because you couldn't watch that game and not talk about Wyatt Teller. Yeah. So defensively, there's still things about our scheme and like stuff that drive me nuts. But if you look at points per game, which ultimately is what it comes down to, we've given up. Yesterday, we gave up 16. Last week, 15. Week before, 17. And then we had two rough weeks. Then it was 14. So out of our last, what, seven games, five of them, it's been 16 or less. I mean, that's good.
And that's what sucks about the Steelers game. They should have won that. They have to win those games whenever your defense holds teams to that
15
level.
Points.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that last week you picked a good week to be out of the country though, because it was a depressing week.
I know. When I finally got Wi-Fi access and saw the score, I was like, I don't even want to. I'm not looking at
don't anything. Don't let this ruin my vacation.
Yeah, right. It was terrible, but
the defense points per game wise, it's kind of coming together a little bit. I still hate how we just basically make it easy for people to pick up third downs and stuff like that.
There's still some of that going on. Yep.
But I thought yesterday we did a good job on third down early in the first quarter. It was like, oh, here we go again. But I think for the game, we ended up being pretty good. I'm trying to pull it up right now, but I think they were under 50%.
And they did a really good job, I thought, of whenever the pressure was getting to Burrow, not letting him get out and make a play. I feel like they kept him where they need to keep mm-hmm. him and forced him either into a bad throw or a sack or something.
They were 3 of 11 on third down.
I'll take that.
What, two of those? Two or in their first two drives, probably.
Right. Yeah.
So for the rest of the game, maybe they were like 1 of 8, 1 of 9. Yep. It's like we really settled down after those first two drives. Yep. And a lot of people said too, that second drive, it's tough on the defense because
they were just out there for a whole drive.
they were super gassed.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, Denzel was sucking oxygen.
Yeah, he
didn't even come in until they were like inside the 10, I thought. The other, had drove all the way back down the field.
So, I mean, they really settled down.
I want to say, too, I think watching that game yesterday, what do you guys think? I felt like Anthony Walker played the type of game that I was hoping he would play whenever we signed him. I was like, I kept seeing him in plays. I kept hearing his name. He was making tackles.
Even when things didn't go his way, I want to say he had like a hit on like third down on like Mixon or something like that. And Mixon kind of scored a bye for like a half yard and got the first. He was there. He was there at the line, at the first down marker trying to make the stop. So, I mean, I just felt like collectively the whole entire defense.
Yeah, there was one, too, I remember specifically where it was P. Ryan that was running the ball. Mm-hmm. And
maybe that's who it was. Maybe it was P.
And
Ryan.
We actually hit him like a yard before the marker.
Yeah.
It was on third down. And I'm like, oh, good, we're going to stop him. But he had the momentum. He was able to drive his legs and push his way, past the first down. But we were there, and it was like a solid hit.
Yep.
Just couldn't get him down, mm-hmm. and he was able to use the momentum to go. But, yeah, those kind of plays, because before they'd be missed tackles.
Oh, missed tackle. 10 more yards. Yeah, 6 yards.
Yep.
At least 6 yards.
So if they're picking up, first downs that way, okay, fine, you earned it. But you got to earn it. We can't just give it to them.
I agree.
So I was happy to see that.
Yep.
Sacked Burrow 5 times, forced him into 2 turnovers. I think I said that we needed to try to make him feel uncomfortable, and some Cincy fans, thought that was funny, like he was unfazable or something.
That claim now.
Yeah, how did that go? Because he definitely didn't look comfortable. We sacked him 5 times. We hit him how many other times? I mean, people were like, Tony Romo was saying they should take him out. They eventually did take him
out.
Like, people were fearing for his life. You know what I mean? That's the way the defense needs to play, aside from basically one opening drive.
Yeah.
So kudos to the defense. Joe Woods isn't off the hook yet. But to me, the biggest thing was it's just so many times this year when we've played a good quarterback, we've gotten diced. This is the first time where we went into a game that I was fully expect. I thought we were going to have to score 40 to win because they were going to have 35, 38.
Yep.
What I mean? I did not expect to keep them to 16 points. Not at all.
No. No, me either.
We kept them to 16 points, and it wasn't like the typical Browns game where they only scored 16 because we had the ball 45 minutes and they had it 15. They had the ball 11 more minutes than we did.
That's actually that's a good stat to really. you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah. They had the ball 35 minutes to our 24 minutes, and we still held them to 16 and scored 41.
So
we
were and still had more yards.
Yeah. So we were very efficient with our.
I mean, it helps too when you get a pick six. John Johnson returns his pick to the five. I think the fumble was on their side of the field. So I mean, we got short fields a lot, and then we capitalized quickly. It helps too when you have two one-play drives or. One was a one-play drive to DPJ, and the one in the second half was a two-play drive with the run for Chubb.
Yep.
So that helps, you know, well, it hurts our time of possession. But typically, if we see the Browns' defense be kind of successful, it's because we had the ball for 40 minutes. True. The other team ran 30 less plays than they normally do. This time, that wasn't the case.
No.
The Bengals ran – how many plays did they run? Total plays. They ran 70 plays. We only ran 46.
That is awesome. That they ran almost double what we ran
and scored,
less than half of what we put up.
Yes.
And I mean, go ahead and take away Denzel six. I mean, we still scored, you know, 35.
I mean, awesome. That goes to show the defense needs to keep this needs to not be a one game wonder. Yeah. They got to keep forcing those turnovers because I mean, it makes a big difference. There's a big difference between having to go 35 or 40 yards and having to go 80 yards every time.
Absolutely. It does.
There's a huge difference. I think when I was in high school, old Coach Smith used to have a chart that told us, you know, like your percentage of scoring when you start here, when you start here. Guess what? The percentage goes up by a lot the closer you got to start to your own end zone.
Yeah.
So having to go 80, 85 on a professional defense all the time, that's not easy. So we got the chunk plays yesterday, which we've been talking about all year, how we need to get some chunk plays. And we had better starting field position than we have had almost any game this year.
And turnovers.
So, like Justin said, the most complete game we've played all year, in my opinion.
For sure.
And in his opinion, because he said so.
Thanks, man.
overall, great game for the Browns. Mm-hmm. But we will get into some what went wrong if you guys are all done with the what went right.
Yeah, man, I'm just floating on high over here. It's just such a great game.
All around great game for the Browns. Tons of what went right. Anything that we say went wrong is going to be nitpicking, so stay tuned. Before we get into the what went wrong, though, I got to remind you guys to check out Symbol. Head to symbol.com/dogs, DAWGS. When you use that promo code, you're going to get $10 free on the website to use in the stock market for sports. Also, your deposit is 100% refundable up to $500 right now for your first 90 days. Jump on there. If you want to play, you're going to buy stock in different sports teams. We're partial to the NFL, but they got NCAA, they got NBA, they got MLB, they got all kinds of stuff on there. You're going to jump in, you're going to buy stock. If something goes wrong and you're terrible at this and you lose all your money the first day, you're going to get it all back. It's risk-free, 100% refundable deposit. So you can put in $1, $400, $500, you're going to get it all back. There's no risk. So if you got $500 extra that you can let sit around for a couple weeks, throw it in there. Who knows what's going to happen? They also have pick three leagues. If you want to join the pick three league just for fun, now would be, you know, you can get in. You're probably not going to win now. But I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. You're probably not going to win. But if you want to jump in and test out your skills against us, you're going to hit teammates in the lower left-hand corner. Then in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see join/create league. Tap that button and then look for our league. It's the Dogs Podcast. Once you join, you're going to pick three games against the spread every week. At the end of the year, whoever has the most points is going to win a free Browns jersey. I think the leader's at like 17 now. So that guy's going to have a stroke, and you're going to have to get every game right for like the rest of the year to even have a chance. So again, you're probably not going to win.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, but if you want to jump in, just hang out with us on the pick three. You know, we'd love to have you. Again, check out the stock market for sports, though. 100% guaranteed deposit right now. You can't lose any money. It's a ton of fun. Good chance to win money. Check it out. Promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, symbol.com. Play the stock market for sports.
In the doghouse.
Listen, let me say something to you as a friend. You suck.
So that still gets me every time. So, like we said, if there's going to be anything bad this game, it's going to be nitpicky. I think the one thing that isn't nitpicky, to me, whenever I think what went wrong in this game, it's penalties. We continue to be an extremely high penalized team, penalized, and I can't explain it. Especially, too, a lot of our penalties are pre-snap.
Yeah, the big, I know there was a lot that happened, but the big one that keeps standing out to me was when DPJ made that nice catch down around like the one or two. And then a couple, you know, we had like a penalty or maybe two, I can't remember, but all of a sudden it was first and goal from like the 12. I'm like, what happened here? You know what I mean? Like that's a killer.
Bad percent, yep.
First quarter, we had what, two or three offsides are lined up in the neutral zone. Pre-snap penalties are killing us. When Zach was here last week, he talked about we were number two in the league in pre-snap penalties.
Yeah.
That's just really undisciplined. People can say the Browns have been getting gypped on calls, which I'm not going to argue with because, again, yesterday we saw a targeting the passer.
Did we?
Oh, my. No. That was so – the league – I'm going to go on a tangent.
Let's do it.
The league needs to do something about roughing the passer because it's not just against the Browns. I was watching – what game was it? Might have been the Rams game last night. The Rams or the Titans got two roughing the passers. Second one, maybe he got him up high around the neck a little bit. The first one was awful. They just gave him 15 yards. Ours was not only was ours so it was so bad they didn't even call it. Somebody called them and told them to call. You mean tell me
the teams are lining up to play?
You can call them 30 some seconds later and tell them that was roughing the passer, but you can't tell us that it wasn't pass interference in the Chargers game.
Yeah,
right.
What? I mean, the league's got to do something. The officiating, it still sucks.
It just kills momentum. It kills drives. It kills possession. I mean, I just keep going back to the Bills-Chiefs game whenever Josh Allen, they were pinned down at their own goal line. He gets tripped up by his own guy and knocked down. They call roughing the passer on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what?
I don't understand how it's not like something they're addressing. The roughing the pass. Here's my thing. I think the targeting call in college is terrible, especially that it's an ejection.
Yep.
But the thing that is right about it is they can review it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're make roughing the passer reviewable or something, if you're going to call it on every time the quarterback gets hit, it's two and it's 15 yards.
An automatic first 15.
An automatic. Yeah. Then make it reviewable because I saw maybe three or four yesterday and there was maybe one that I wouldn't fight him on it being justified. The other three were terrible.
Yeah.
Ours was so bad. For ours, I don't know what they called. He didn't hit him late. He didn't hit him high. He didn't hit him low.
He didn't drive him into the ground.
I don't know.
Whatever. Leverage is weight.
I have no idea what the justification was for that call.
Did they ever give one?
They just tossed their flag and like...
Said roughing the passer?
Said roughing the passer and gave him the penalty.
You talking about when Burrow scrambled and with Clowney chasing him down?
No.
Or different. That's different.
No, who was it that hit him?
Yeah,
they didn't call that one.
No.
They didn't call that.
Which that...
which another thing...
It sounds like we should have more
penalties. They didn't call roughing the passer on that. And I didn't think it was roughing.
Yeah, I didn't
think. But if they would have called it, I would have been like, well...
Okay.
That's what gets called these days. But right. Then for the Bengals to start a fight with us,
and then
and we're the only team that gets penalized.
Correct. Yeah,
right. There was an offsetting.
That's the thing. Every time there's like a scrum like that,
it's usually
offsetting, yeah. Right? Because there's always at least one guy from each side that's going to
get penalized.
There was like three refs standing there.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand how we were the only team penalized there.
I don't either.
And we killed them, so it didn't matter that roughing the passer. But what if that's a tight game?
Yeah, it's just the inconsistencies, you know, in general that suck. I mean, it's just they're all these bad calls are just so blatantly awful.
Yeah, we had 10 penalties for 84 yards. They had 4 penalties for 31 yards. So if you're just looking at this and you didn't watch the game, you're like, man, you know, the refs were out to get the Browns. Well, the problem is they didn't have pre-snap penalties. You take away our 4 to 6 pre-snap penalties, we're pretty much even. Mm-hmm. Guess who controls pre-snap penalties? We do. Those are easy for the refs to call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're pretty obvious.
Yep.
So we got to get that cleaned up. I know Stefanski came out today and talked about like how they're unacceptable. Bro, figure it out.
Yeah, really.
If you were Freddie Kitchens, you'd be getting drilled right now because that's something we drilled Freddie on. A lot.
The whole season.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Terrible.
Do you guys want some stats on penalties?
Yeah, dude.
Give them to me.
So we are the number 3rd most penalized team in the league. There's a tie for 1st. Houston and Carolina have 65. How many do the Browns have?
How many?
64.
What's crazy, too, that's just amount of penalties, right?
That's yes. Oh, yes.
Overall penalties. Going into the Pittsburgh game last week, we weren't number 1 in penalties amount. We were number 1 in penalty yards.
next thing I'm going into, penalty yards. We're number one with 602. The next closest.
That's a game and a half worth of yards.
I see 570. Tennessee has 570 with 59 penalties. And yesterday was our most penalized game all season with 10. We had a couple Niners, but.
So it got worse.
It's gotten worse. Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that it's going to bite you. I mean, we're already flirting with like the fire anyways, being 5-4 and losing three games that we shouldn't have lost.
Oh yeah. We're just sniffing 500 all year so far. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the schedule is brutal from here on out. Yep. You got to be almost perfect. We can't have 10 penalties every game.
Think about an optimistic like team like Baltimore, what they're going to do with 5 yards back to back like that. When Clowney just keeps lining up in the neutral zone or
I hate the Ravens.
Dude, as soon as that game went to overtime yesterday.
Oh, it's a wrap. You already know.
The first half when I saw the score and I just knew that the Vikings were going to lose.
Yep. They've been doing it all year.
Yep.
And close games all year.
I said that do the Ravens know how to like go get a win, or is just the teams they play know how to lose? Because I feel like every time I watch a Ravens game, the other team does something so mind-numbingly stupid to let the Ravens back in the game. You know what I mean?
Yes,
Whether it's like a stupid turnover or a missed field goal.
Yeah.
It just, we never get those breaks. And they get every single one.
Well, you know, we get them twice.
The game they didn't get those breaks, they got pummeled by the team we just pummeled.
Yeah, which was kind of nice.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I mean, good for them, but it's crazy. They just get all the fortune. They must have better karma than we do. But
yes, I agree, though. The penalties need cleaned up. It is a coaching thing. And the thing is, you're right, the pre-snap penalties. Because the stuff in the during the play, like a roughing the passer, you know what?
Whatever, yeah.
You're going to hit the quarterback because you think he has the ball, and then it's up to the ref after that point. Or you're going to try to defend a receiver. It's up to the ref at that point. But pre-snap, don't give it to him.
No, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It's just handing them free stuff.
Like you said, too, that we threw the ball down to the two, and we ended up had to settle for a field goal.
And a field goal we missed, I think, right? Is that the one we missed?
Okay, maybe.
No, I don't think that was the one we missed.
And did we have to settle for a field goal? I can't remember, but
yeah,
because we had a false start or something from like the one, and ended up being third and six or fourth. It was crazy.
Rough. Yeah.
Any other negatives you guys want to get into? The only thing I didn't love was in the second half the offense.
Yes.
We had the big run by Chubb, and then we got that late. We had like the quick drive where we had the long pass to DPJ, and then the super nice throw for the touchdown. But for much of that second half, we were stagnant. I pulled up. I was looking at the drives like yesterday because I was trying to think like, you know, what would I say today? And I was kind of looking at the drives. In the second half, it was, let me see here, 28 yards, and then there was 70, the Chubb run. So that's good. But then after that, it was 2 yards. Negative 4 yards, 48 yards and a missed field goal. So we're at like 60 yards of offense or something besides the one big run. Yeah, the big run's nice. You can't count on a 70-yard run. We got to be, even if you're not going to score a touchdown on it every drive, but 2 yards, negative 4 yards, 28 yards and a punt. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying it was terrible, but that's why I'm not one of those people, like, there's a lot of people out there who just, they think we're winning the Super Bowl now. And I'm not one of those people. I need to see it consistently because, like I said, at one point in the passing game in the second half, we were like 4 of 11 for 50 yards. And we got bailed out that Nick Chubb ripped off a 70-yard run. And then we end up down the stretch. But what happens if, why we're being stagnant, the Bengals score? I never felt that's really the
Pittsburgh
safe.
Game.
Yeah, that's what it is. So yeah,
we were up a lot. There was a big difference score-wise, but I mean.
So I told Justin what this game kind of reminded me of, and this is just me trying to keep people grounded, is the Steelers playoff game last year where they gave us a ton of points off turnovers and stuff like that. And then the next week, we didn't get any of those, and we scored 17. So that's why we're going to get into our next episode. But I think this Patriots game is every game's big, but to me, that's like, this is the big one now. Because what happens if we come out next week and they take away the run game and we're not running for 12 yards and we go in that lull and we're 4-12 passing for 50 yards and we're not, and the defense isn't getting turnovers. So the second half offense was a little bit meh, other than basically one play.
Sure. Yeah. And the good thing is we didn't need to be
correct.
Great. So that, I mean, it worked out, but you're right. I there is that worry. And
in the first half is so hard to evaluate offensively because we ran 15 plays.
Right.
You know what I mean? We ran 15 plays in, I mean, we were basically perfect on those 15, but then we went into halftime and came out and I expected like kind of more of that. And it just, it's like, it really took a step backwards. Maybe you're not so aggressive because we're up, but how many times have we seen us go not be aggressive and then it comes back to bite us?
Week one.
I feel like a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
I feel like I keep watching the same game coming out. I joked with him. I was like, I feel like Skifancy is giving these guys like melatonin or something at halftime. Like, they just come out super flat. Like the play calling's super predictable. And like that comes into game scheme. But even when in the Pittsburgh game, we didn't have the luxury of, we had a 1-point lead.
Yeah.
And we played super conservative.
Do what got you there.
Right.
Just be a little crazy. I won't, trust me. Like if we go out and throw three picks, I'm like, well, that sucks, man. We didn't have a great game.
So it's like somebody cover up the scoreboard so Stefanski can't see it in the second half. You know, like somebody tell him we're losing because we didn't take any more deep shots. You know, it got very, and it's like I said, we're nitpicking. We scored 41.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So
it got to a little bit,
but you know, I'm trying to, even when you score 41, there's still room to improve.
Yeah, there's not necessarily things that, excuse me, went wrong, but like we said, things that we definitely need to improve.
Clean up because.
Clean up, yep.
Even though the Bengals have a good record, they're prone to implode here.
Yeah,
they just got beat by the Jets.
Right.
Yeah. And then they just got, I told Justin, they got beat by the Jets. And then they have a home game against us, who's coming off of a super bad loss against the Steelers. Maybe the most chaotic week NFL team has ever had.
Yeah.
And we pummeled it. They're about to fall off a cliff.
Think if we go through a chaotic week like that under Freddie Kitchens, we might not score a point. You know what I mean? The team's in disarray. But I got to give credit to Stefanski and everything in-house to keeping it on track. Like, guys, we got a season here. We got games to win. Keeping people focused. I thought that was, it turned out really well on the field.
Yep.
So, and one last thing before we wrap this up, I got to say too, I'm hearing no talk about Baker's shoulder today.
No talk.
I'm hearing no talk really, except for this like little last minute about Stefanski being a terrible coach all of a sudden. So those are out.
They say winning fixes everything.
Yeah. So if we go in next week and we struggle, I do not want to be sitting here next week and people telling me, well, Baker's playing hurt and Stefanski sucks. I tried to say that before, you know, OBJ's the scapegoat now. You know what I mean? So it's like we eliminated two of the three scapegoats. So now so I don't want to hear about a shoulder next week if we struggle. Just don't. Because
duly noted,
you know what I mean?
Duly noted.
You don't get to pick and choose when it hurts, when you get to use it as an excuse.
Yeah. And I don't think Baker took any big shots yesterday. I don't think he looked like he did anything to really make anything worse. So should be good to go.
Yeah.
Should be good.
And you know, we're going to see next week against the greatest defensive coach ever.
And a defense that's surging right now.
Yeah. So we're going to see, but overall, great game for the Browns. Like I said, we were just nitpicking here in the second half, so don't bite our heads off. If you think the team was perfect, then we don't have to make any improvements and we're Super Bowl bound.
No team is ever perfect any week ever. So, I mean, you got to do this segment where you look at the things that need fixed.
Yeah. Penalties. Penalties is the single biggest problem right there.
Yes, absolutely.
So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this thing up. Thanks for checking out the first episode of the week. Awesome win by the Browns. Kept the playoff hopes alive. Kept, honestly, everything alive. Super Bowl hopes, season hopes, this show's hopes. Kept everything alive for the rest of the season. Huge win coming off a super crazy week for the Browns. So we couldn't be more pumped for that. Sorry Zach couldn't be here today. I know he's everybody's favorite. He'll hopefully be back next week. For all you After Hours or Dog Pack members, we'll see you on the After Hours show. To everybody else, we'll see you guys in a couple days when we break down the matchup of the Patriots.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join thedogs.com.